I want to talk to you about sowing and reaping tonight, and I want you to understand that that everything we do in life can be paralleled to sowing and reaping. I want you to think about that tonight as we look at this illustration and we think about the agrarian culture of biblical times. And we want to first recognize in Luke chapter 13 that Jesus used a lot of teaching and said a lot about agriculture around him and drew a lot of lessons from it. He said a parable to them. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. So you got a vineyard and within it you have a fig tree. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And so he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I have found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And I think it's interesting there that if you learn something from the agricultural teachings of the Bible, you will find out that ground has nutrients. And a plant can use up the nutrients in the soil. But if it's not producing fruit, then it's using up these nutrients for nothing. And so he says, we need to cut this thing down. It's not producing any fruit. It's just cumbering the ground. And so he answered and says, "Sir, let it alone this year alone, or this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. I'm going to fertilize with that. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, then you can cut it down." So that sounds fair enough. Let's give it one more year. Let's dig around it. We'll fertilize it, see what comes of it. And if it doesn't bear fruit, then we'll let it go. You can't help but draw a conclusion that that's exactly the way we are as people. And so here's a picture of God giving us a second chance. God giving the Jews another chance. Let's see if they'll be a fruit-bearing people if we'll just cultivate it a little bit and fertilize it a little bit and see what can happen to it. And if it doesn't produce fruit, well, then we'll cut it down. Well, that's the way we are as people. Another thing we see over in John chapter 4 and verse number 35, he says, don't say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Regarding evangelism, Jesus said, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white already unto harvest." Again, another sowing and reaping concept. Matthew 13:24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." And another parable he put unto them, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field." And then he indeed, it says, "This mustard seed, which is the least of all seeds, when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that birds of the air can come and lodge in the branches thereof." Well, the kingdom is like that. And of course, you know, he wanted to show this illustration of something small growing into something big. And the kingdom would start off small and grow into something big. But you see, the illustration is plant. A seed is being used. Over here in the parable of the sower, the seed is the Word of God in its own explanation. And so the use of seeds in the Scripture, the use of plants and fruit bearing, that's pretty common. That helps us with understanding how we're to be as New Testament Christians. We're told on approximately, whenever you take a kernel of corn, approximately 800 kernels in 16 rows is what develops into an ear of corn, your typical ear, on average. And about 2 to 3 ears, depending upon the plant, is what you're going to get off of a stalk of corn. Now you think about it, it's one corn seed that's planted. And I know that we have a genetically altered corn nowadays, but typically what you'd be able to do in an heirloom seed scenario would you'd be able to dry that out and you'd be able to plant those little individual corn kernels back into the ground and it would grow another corn plant. Well, I guess if you're thinking in terms of evangelism, what one person can do when they sow the seed of the kingdom is you're talking about reproduction. one corn seed, one corn kernel, can produce up to 2 to 3 ears per plant, and it's about 800 kernels in a cob. That's a lot of reproduction. And that's the way we're to be as Christians. We are to be fruit-bearing Christians, reproductive Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 38, in regard to the resurrection, Paul the Apostle even takes the resurrection concept and likens it to a seed. Some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not made alive except it die. And what you sow is not the body that it is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it has pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. And so when you take the seed and you put it in the ground, it starts, the wall of that seed has to actually start to decay first, and then the life that's inside it can sprout out a root, and then look at it as it puts off its old shell, and pretty soon that old shell is just over here to the side. It doesn't even need it anymore. And that is what Paul is getting at when he talks about the resurrection of the dead. We are sown a corruptible body. We are raised an incorruptible body. If there was an illustration better than that, the Holy Spirit didn't give it to us. This is the best illustration that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, could have chosen to help us understand the resurrection of the body. But now, when we look at the law of sowing and reaping, we look at the major ways in that the Scripture uses that concept to help us understand the law of sowing and reaping. We can sow to the flesh, for instance. This is obviously a negative way. Now, before we get to there, I just want to take you through Galatians chapter 6, and there's three laws there. The first law in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1 is the law of caring and sharing. Here he says, brothers, if any of you is caught in any transgression, you which are spiritual, restore such a one, and restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Caring and sharing. The idea of building one another up, helping us overcome sin problems. We realize our own weaknesses. Why, I witnessed this very thing today. When somebody talked to somebody else about a sin problem they had, and they said, you know what? When we care because we're telling you. We're telling you about your problem because we care about you. And because we care about you, I want you to understand that this is a sin that I had struggled with too. You see, when we go trying to help other people overcome sin, they might well benefit from the fact that we have struggled with it ourselves. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Then you've got the law of receiving and giving. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. This is the idea of taking care of those who teach full time in the word. The law of sowing and reaping is what we get to then in verse number 7, where Paul says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And there is the law of sowing. This is maybe one of the most familiar verses of sowing and reaping that we have. Planting and harvesting, sowing and reaping, it's the same thing. When you sow a seed, you wait until the plant produces its fruit, and then you reap or you harvest that which has been what has grown on the plant. And so here he says, in a very general way, that God is not mocked. If we sow to the flesh, look at this. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap, what's the word there? Corruption. Now think about this. But the contrast of it is the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Sowing to the flesh, sowing to the Spirit are two opposites. Reaping corruption and reaping eternal life are polar opposites as well. So when you understand, if you want to understand what corruption is, look at it opposite of what eternal life is. And it is another way of describing hell. Reaping corruption is not something that we want to do. We want to reap eternal life, but we'll have to sow to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have therefore the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith." Sowing and reaping, caring and sharing, giving. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So we know that there's limitations. We know that this is not something that we ought to do as Christians. Walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. What about when it comes to our money? Well, the law of sowing and reaping applies there as well. 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 7. "So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift and not as an exaction." In other words, we're not going to come over there and exact it or charge you for it. In other words, whenever he told Corinth that he was going to come by, he wanted to pick up an offering from them, he says, "You need to do it as a willing gift." He says, this is the point. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Think about that for just a moment. Here, the law of sowing and reaping in regard to finances within the confines of the local church. Within not just the local church, but within the body of Christ. So he's saying that you don't need to sow sparingly. Don't just give a little. Give what you can, but give everything you got in that sense. I realize we all have responsibilities, but if we have a pauper mentality about church work, we'll low-budget things. We'll eat out more than we give to the church. We'll go play, and we'll go different places, and we'll do different things, but we won't give to the church proportionately into our own entertainment purposes. Watch out for that kind of thing, because you'll never support the work of the church the way that you would like to if you don't sit there and calculate how you spend your money. If you're talking about how that you're going to provide for somebody or provide for other things, think about this. The law is, if I sow sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly. There is some benefit for me that God has. And it may be in the church spiritual sense, or it may be in a personalized sense. We don't know. But we know that there is a reward for sowing bountifully. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse number 38, "Give and it will be given to you." Notice this. Good measure, that means you're going to be dealt out a good portion. Pressed down, shaken together. Now, here's what happens to my cereal boxes. When I buy a box of cereal, I think they fill that thing up to the top and then zip the lip of it. But through the transportation of that box of cereal from the company that makes it to my house, it rattles it down to the bottom. And so it looks like it's half full when I buy it. That's the idea here. If you want to make more room in your canister for the cereal. Maybe you don't do this. A lot of times we'll take cereal that doesn't have a zip bag. We'll put it into a canister. Well, I'll always fill it up. And then I'll have to, when it gets to the top, I'll have to put the lid on and I have to shake it down a little bit and make some more room for some more. Well, that's the idea here. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. That's a law concerning our giving to the Lord. And so the idea is the same. It's not the same wording. It's not the sowing and reaping passage. It's a different one. But the principle is there. You can sow to the flesh or sow to the Spirit. You can sow bountifully or you can sow sparingly regarding your money and your giving to the Lord. there's these two choices. But what about attitudes? Can you sow attitudes? Well, I should think you can. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things." Did you ever say anything you didn't need to say? I know that we've said things that we've regretted, but at the time that we said it, you say, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean that." Well, you know what? You probably did. It's called a Freudian slip. Sometimes we come right out with it without thinking. It means that we're thinking it, but we're not thinking about the repercussions of what happens when we say it. And so, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Have you ever thought about that? That in the day of judgment, we'll give an account for the idle words that we've spoken? Idle, empty words that we have spoken, we're going to be judged by it. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits." Question: what do you want your tongue to be used for? Do you want to sow seeds of encouragement or discouragement? Do you want to sow seeds of truth and goodness or sin and falsehoods? What is it? How are we using our tongue? We've got to count the cost of our tongue. Power and life, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Here in Proverbs 15:1, we see a soft answer turns away anger, wrath. But the grievous words stir up anger. Are you going to use your tongue to sow peace into a conversation, to diffuse a heated situation? Or do you get in there and fuel the fire? When you perceive that there are souls who are not getting along with one another in the church, who do you blame? Who do you talk to? What do you say? Do you diffuse the situation or do you fuel the fire by what you say? A soft answer turns away wrath. People come to you angry. How do you deal with angry people when they come to you? It's easy to get heated and get in their face. But you could sow a seed of kindness. You could sow a seed of calm, cool, and collected. By the way, have you ever thought about this? How often we use the metaphor, plant the seed in their mind? We're talking about giving people an idea. So we plant the seed. Well, isn't that a kind of sowing? We sow ideas into other people's head. What are we doing about it? Proverbs 6 and verse 19. "A false witness speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren." Something that God hates, incidentally. He hates a false witness that speaks lies, and he hates those that sow discord among brethren. What are you going to reap from sowing discord amongst brethren? Well, you might reap a church split. You might reap a load of friends turning against you. You might reap having to come down forward and confess your sins to the church. "Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity." Here Proverbs 22:8 says, "And the rod of his fury will fail." Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity. See, you don't want to sow the wrong attitudes, and you don't want to sow wrong deeds. You want to sow good deeds and good decisions and good attitudes. "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." Sow righteousness. Friends, let's sow good deeds. Jesus went about doing good. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Why do I put that there? Because seeing your good works is planting a seed in somebody else's mind. The power of example is really what it is. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 talks about how Jesus Christ gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is a kind of people that sow good deeds into the minds of other people. We've talked about sowing and reaping, but let me give you a word of caution tonight. You could possibly reap, and other people could possibly reap what they have not sown. Well, in a more positive sense, Jesus uses John, or we can use John 4, 37 and 38, to show how Jesus taught that one soweth and another reapeth. I send you, he said, I'm sending you, the apostles, to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. What he's saying is, his apostles are going in and are going to preach a gospel message to people whose foundation, spiritual foundation, had been built by the prophets of old. And so, here is a sense in which somebody comes in and preaches the gospel. You might preach and teach and try to influence somebody in the community with the gospel of Christ, and then you're disconnected from them somehow. And then here comes brother or sister so-and-so, and they meet them, and they sow the seeds of Christian influence and the seed of the gospel on them. And then they obey the gospel. Well, what was done before is still as valid as what was done later. And we do that all the time. We plant and we water. And who gives the increase? God does. And so we've got to understand our labor in the kingdom is just like this. But probably in a more negative sense is Exodus 24 and verse 5. We could still take the principle from John chapter 4 and use it in a negative sense if you wanted to, because the idea of reaping where things that you have not sown is here. But Exodus 24, 5 actually shows you or gives you an illustration of reaping what you had not sown. Therefore thou shalt not bow thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, the sin of the fathers, upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I don't know what that's supposed to look like. But I know that visiting is another word for judgment. Judging the iniquity of the fathers, the ancestors, and visiting it upon the children of the third and the fourth generation. Let me give you a fine illustration of suffering the wrath of a vengeful God. He's exacting justice and judgment upon a sin that was committed back yonder, but we're suffering for it today. Can you think of anything? Well, what about Adam and Eve? We suffer in this world today because of a choice that they made. There are innocent people who suffer every day because of the bad decisions of other people. Now, we understand that. While we're not personally held accountable, we become recipients of that justice and judgment of God. We talk about our country and the bad decisions that we're making in our country morally today. And who's going to pay for that? What are these bad decisions going to lead to? The older generation in this auditorium tonight, you could probably die in peace. But my kids are going to grow up in a country that does not know God at all. Entertainment choices on television now highlight and celebrate mixed and broken. Now, I say mixed families. I'm talking about mixed up families. I'm talking about families that are. You've got heterosexual families, and you've got married and divorced several time families, and the boyfriend's still coming around, and you got homosexual couples, and you got all this confusion on television, and it celebrates wickedness. What about the nuclear family? Oh, it's a thing of the past. It's outdated. It's old school. It's not in style. It's, you know, you're not in touch with society and with culture if you preach the family that God designs and wants you to have. Marriage and divorce and remarriage. Oh, well, that's just old school stuff. Hey, man, you know it's getting bad when some of the churches are not teaching it anymore. Can't keep Can't keep people in the church if we're not going to, if we're going to teach on that. So we'll just abandon that. I don't mean to get on a rant. I'm just saying that we've put a lot of things that are in the Bible out of our mind. And because we've done that as a country, we're going to suffer for it. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so if we are the recipients of the divine justice of God of the second and third or fourth generation, it's not because they committed the sin per se, it's because we've committed, and the long-term effects of that judgment are going to last for two or three or four generations. And we've seen that in our own life. The law of sowing and reaping, friends. The law of sowing and reaping has everything to do with the choices that we make and the perspective that we have when we make those choices. And so tonight I call upon everybody in this assembly to make wise choices, to make loving choices, to make choices that will glorify God. Knowing that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. If we are going to sow negative attitudes, we're going to reap negative attitudes. You take your kids to school in the morning, how is that car ride over to school? Is it mean? Is it ugly? Is it a bad mood? Or are we, can we smile? Can we pray? Can we sow good thoughts? What is it going to be? How do we determine whether we're going to sow good seed or bad seed? The choice becomes ours. The law of sowing and reaping. Maybe if you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, we'd invite you to do that tonight. If you have come here and you find yourself just needing the prayers of the church tonight, we certainly want to reach out to you, knowing that the spiritual seeds that we're planting right now in your hearts and in your minds will reap everlasting life for you. That is our prayer anyway. And so if you're subject to the invitation, meet us down front while we stand and sing.